So on the internet today. Are you ready for a challenge today?
Amen.
Yeah. And so you might say something like this: hey, what is acceptable sins? I see it. Part three. We're in part three. There's acceptable sins. We call them maybe necessary sins, respectable sins, because we don't do the big ones like, well, we don't murder. We don't, commit, do the false God thing and make idols and all that. We won't do that. But we'll certainly do things that are habitual, that are part of our lives, that we say, this is the way I'm made, this is just me, and it's part of my life, and I'm just taking it with me. It's part of my life. And so it's acceptable. And so we are on part three. I conclude the series next week. Make sure that you're here concluding strong with me. We're going to talk about anger. And we have a tendency of saying, this is what I got to get through to make it through the day. And so today, I want to take on sexual sin today, sexual lust today. And we made it a prayer all month long today. And search me, O God. So it's on your paper and it's on the big screen. Yes. Amen. And so we're almost there. And so let's read this together on your bulletin today. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that offends you. Lead me into the path of everlasting life. I prayed prayers in my life at times, and I've gone through like rub-a-dub-dub, bless this grub type thing. I've never done, but almost like God bless this food because we're hungry. Then I prayed prayers where I really needed God. God, if you don't heal me, God, if you don't heal my wife, if you don't heal my children, if you don't intercede right now in the church right now and help me, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And God, I need you. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? No one else can answer but God. Yeah. So search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me, know my anxious thoughts, and point out anything that offends you, Lord, and lead me into the path of everlasting life. Now come up, sure up right now with me. Amen. I'm going to take you with me right now. We're going on this journey together. You got to act like you're going to get something. Amen. Get ready. Amen. God's going to bless you today, but you got to have the posture of receiving. And this isn't a free ride, but you can buckle up. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. Acceptable sin is, am I just going to go ahead and accept it? And sexual lust is that sort of thing where we think, that's not a big deal. It's part of being a man. And all men battle with it. And I can call this now a human being issue today. It's just not a man issue. Christian Woman Magazine today says 1 in 6 women, including Christians, these are church-going women, evangelical women, they're addicted to porn. I don't really like surveys because I like to buck them and say, we're better than that, but this is just what they're saying. Survey said, really, 50% of all men, including church-going men, struggle with pornography. Parents, you know about your child's device. It's in their hand all the time. It's in their hand probably right now as I preach. Children between the ages of 12 and 17, they're the largest consumer of porn. I couldn't believe that, but that's truth right there. They say the pornography industry brings more revenue in than the NFL, and NBA, and the American Baseball League. And that's behind the scenes. They don't have primetime rating. They don't have primetime Nike supporters. They don't have all these contracts. But yet they bring in more revenue than all these major league sports. Isn't that incredible? What the porn industry has done to our culture and society. I think it's because of the access that has never been so freely in the palm of our hand now that we have. And we ought to be real concerned about it. Back in my day, growing up on television, you would have never imagined certain things that are on primetime television that are on there right now, but it's free reign. They didn't bleep that out. They said that. That was portrayed right now. Those two women did that together on television. And it's shocking, but it's taking place now. You'd never thought you'd see the day, but the day has come. So it's almost like we built a tolerance level towards it, haven't we? It's a sick culture that we're in. It's no big deal. It's not hurting anybody. You know, I've had church folk tell me that through the years because of the stand that we take on and how we can be victorious over pornography and over sexual addiction and that sort of thing. But it's almost like some guys have told me, hey, this is just the way I deal with it. And I go through and nonchalant. I'm going to be part of the church. I'm going to attend the church. But I'm really just going to do this thing because it's my little thing that I do. It's how I get through. It's just the way I am right now. And if you're a non-Christian, today and you're in the room, you're off the hook. But if you're a follower of Jesus, we want to listen to the words of Jesus, right? Amen. We want to follow Christ. We want to do what he's told us to do, because to be Christ-like is to be a Christian. To be a follower of Jesus is I'm doing what Jesus did. I'm living my life like him because I'm a committed. I'm just not killing time on this earth. I'm making an impact today. How about you? Amen. We want a church of impact. And so we take Jesus at his word today. And so Jesus wasn't about the law. He obeyed every law that there was, including every he was a perfect man, not like us. And so he led not only by action, but by heart. Aren't you glad we have a Savior that has a heart just like you? And it was beating, and he said, you know, I'm not going to do this only by law. I'm going to do it with heart today. I'm going heart in first. And so he said this in Matthew 5, 27 on your handout or on the big screen. He said, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone that looks, somebody say, looks. Look at that. Amen. That means you gaze at, that you ponder, that you take a photograph in your head and you look at it. A woman lustfully, or a man lustfully for the women here. You've already committed adultery in his or her heart today. And the look right there is to contrast, really, the Greek word right there where I've underlined looks is to contrast. You're either going to look at that or you're going to look at him, God. You're either going to contrast by looking at the things that bring life to you even on this earth, the stuff of this earth that bring, or you're going to look at the lower things of this earth. Wow, look at her. Look at that, man. And you just look until she goes into the house. And then you keep looking and you take the snapshot and it's in your head for later or whatever it might be. Or you can look at what brings you life, what will bring you true intimacy, what will bring you truth in your life, what will bring you hope in your life, what will bring you the things that satisfy you in your life. All those things can keep that bring you life abundance. And it's God. It's God's thing. It's God's life. It's serving. It's being part of a mission bigger than yourself. And that's what you should look at today. What are you looking at today? What are you gazing at today? Amen. The imagination is a great thing that God gave us. He gave us a gift of imagination. We're creative because of it. But Satan has a way, just like he does in our marriages, just like he does with all gifts that he gives us from heaven, that he can warp even imagination, and he can bring a dark imagination into someone's life, into a young man's life, into a young woman's life, into your life, my life, and it twists something that was so pure and innocent, and it makes it evil, and it makes it dark, and it makes it something that you do in the shadows, and God wants your imagination to be used for his glory, for his purposes, doesn't he? Are y'all glad you're here? Amen this morning. Yeah. As a follower of Jesus, I'm so thankful that our mind is filled with redemption. I think we ought to give him a 5-second praise break right now, just because, God, you're renewing my mind, Lord, today. You're giving me truth today to put in my mind today. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Amen. God Almighty, he can do some great things. Amen. James, the half-brother of Jesus, knew what would bring death. And in James chapter 1, verse 14, come on, you haven't had any fun all day. Let's read it out loud, not out soft. Come on, everybody helping me on three. Let Facebook Live hear you. 1, 2, 3, go. Temptation, which entices us, these desires, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives and brings death. Yeah, what does it bring death to? Death to purity, death to intimacy, death to trust. And finally, death to spiritual life and growth. Your spiritual walk is brought to death because of the temptation. The enticement there is an interesting word. You can show it to me. Extra notes for the people that really love Jesus. They take extra notes. It's a Greek term. It's a fishing term. It's a fishing, how you would bait the hook, and how the enemy of your soul, Satan, would bait the hook and lead you like a lure and entice you to take the hook and bite. You bite on it, and you're hooked right there. You bring it about in that sense today. You stay on the path of lust in this room. Look at me. It will reap a whirlwind. It will come upside your head and hit you hard, and it will beat you. You want the wind to come to your life in the sense of just destruction of things that you never imagined. You want to cry out to God in the midnight hour because something happened because of lust, and the door that you open keep going on that path. But if I speak to believers today, we have some strength in God to move past that and to say, God, I'm victorious in this thing. I'm going to lift my hands in victory today. Give me a good amen. And so I don't want you to be void of something today. I want you to be full of God, and that's what I'm preparing you to receive today in God's life today. So the hook that it speaks of the temptation, the enticement that we get, what James spoke about. How do we get hooked? What happened to us? And many of us, this is going to be our story like it was my story today. And you have three bullet points right there in your bulletin. Number one is this right there as you see it. You're exposed, and it's, you can show me the next slide. You're exposed, and it's, you're exposed to sexual impurity. A kid, you know, you're going to play doctor with her, and they put you in a room today, and you were 5 years old, and she was five. You show me yours, I'll show you mine, and you know, it's innocent, but you saw something you weren't supposed to see. Or maybe it's like that 12-year-old kid I saw walking by the mall, and there was a Victoria's Secret thing going on over here in the windows, and you guys know it like I know it, and you turn your head, and you don't glance, and you look this way. But he was a 12-year-old boy, and he was like this in the window, and he wanted to know Victoria's Secret. What's her secret? 12 years old, and you know, you don't have to go anywhere now. The peephole now is on a billboard. It's at the mall, isn't it? And it's full blown. It's on a phone now. Maybe you saw an ad and you clicked onto something, and it was full blown on the web page. And or maybe tragically, you were abused by somebody that you trusted, and that happened in your life, and tragedy hit that way. You're exposed, and it caused a wound to come. You sustained an injury. It's in your mind now, and the progression leads because you're human today, and you're a person today. Is anyone Jesus in the room today? I'm so glad that you're here. You're a sinner saved by grace like I am. Real people, not weird people. We're real. We struggle with things, but we overcome, amen, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony today. Your mind was pure when you got injured. But because of the injury, now it's polluted. The computer it's like a computer virus that hit the computer. Now the whole thing shut down. You were innocent. You were wounded. You went through this process, and it's probably the same as this. The expose happened. Then the injury hits your mind and heart and soul. You become, the final point is, you become sexually really confused and conflicted there. It's this feeling of being it brings me enjoyment, but then I get shame. I like this, but then I feel guilty. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, was a man of God like no other man or woman in this room. His dedication. And he wrote in Ephesians 7, Romans chapter 7, he said this. He said, that which I want to do, Bible reading, going to church, keeping, I don't do. I want to lend itself to that right there. And he said, that which I shouldn't do, I want to lend itself to there. You fill in the blank. I do. And so there's war within him, and he was confused and conflicted there. The soul was realmed right in that sense. And oh, you're single in this room. I'm not hurting anybody by doing this. Yeah. You justify yourself by saying, this is just, I feel guilty, but I'm going to justify it. I'm not as bad as him or bad as her. You're married and you're saying, if she would meet my needs or he would meet my needs, I wouldn't go off and do this. I wouldn't read these books. I wouldn't go do that. It's no one's business. It's okay. I'm not hurting anybody. And there are periods that we face as God's people, I believe, that they're like sexual sobriety where we're free from it. And then all of a sudden we go into this binge where we go off and we've been into this thing and we've gone off full kilter. Now, I can see your agreement in my face, and you don't need to, like, nod or buck or wave a hanky at me. But the real people that are in here are saying, I know exactly what you mean, Pastor. Yeah, because we're real today, and no one's arrived, and we need God's help today. You ever been to that point? And don't say amen right now. This isn't the point. Well, I'll never do that again. And 4 days later, you're doing it again. And you repent, and you ask God to change you, and help you, and well, if I got married, I'll stop that. And you don't stop. It gets worse even in marriage. It must be something I have this passion now. It's so great. It's not a passion. And just like we bullet pointed, you were injured. And there's an injury there in your soul and your heart. And you need to recover from it. I'm so glad you're at Living Faith Church and you're watching right now, because you can recover by the grace of God. Amen. God heals people. He helps people. He doesn't hurt people. He helps them right now. Right, everybody? If you're dealing with an injury that hasn't healed, then you're going to continue to get wounded. It's like that scab that keeps getting peeled off every time you go back to it, and it hurts you again. There's this sermon resource that I have, and it gives like this anonymous stuff that you can do on it. And they recorded this, and I took two of the stories that come from lust off of it, and no names are used, of course, on it, but it says this: listen to the pain of the exposed, the injured, and the confusion through these notes that I have right here. I'm a wife, a mother, a Christ follower who masturbates and views porn online. I'm so ashamed by this, yet I can totally separate myself from who I am while I do this, and I want to be free, but I also enjoy it while I'm sickened at the same time. And so now that it's out, I'm going to go vomit. Listen to the second note and notice again the exposure, the injury, and then the confusion that happens. I've struggled with pornography for many years. I found myself watching, and it lists a whole bunch because there's children in this room. I won't say the following sentence. I'm so sorry and ashamed of myself. These things are not attracted to me, but I've been distorted for so many years that I've been bored with regular sexuality. Please pray for me. He continues, I'm leading a double life. My wife and my children have no idea, but I'm secretly attracted to men. It started when I was touched by an older boy in junior high, and it followed me through my life. I've recently been lying to my wife and doing things that would devastate her. I want to tell her, but I'm afraid that she'll divorce me, and I don't want to lose my family. Did you hear how they were exposed? Did you hear the injury? Did you hear the conflict and the confusion now? As God's people, you're a child of God in this room. We're children of the Lord in this room. God wants us to walk with Him. God wants us to walk in the light. God wants us to be the salt of the earth. God even wants you to have victory over that thing that you say, that's just part of me. I'm never going to get rid of it. It's the way that I get a little bit of pressure off my life, or I get this satisfaction for that moment, and then I'm okay. I'm okay after I do that. God doesn't want you to live that way if it's in the darkness today. Again, if you wouldn't do that in the middle of a church service while you're worshiping at the altar or while you're worshiping in your chair, then it's probably not something that you should do. Right? Amen. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think so. We walk with God, but there's progress in our walk. So we don't stay in fourth grade forever spiritually. God wants you to get a college degree spiritually. Amen. I'm a college graduate. Amen. Just spiritually. Give me a good amen. Amen. God wants you to grow in Him today. Amen. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, on the big screen or in your handout, they've darkened. In other words, you need light in this area instead of the darkness. Their understanding. They separated the life of God because of their ignorance that is due to them, to the hardening of their hearts today. They've lost all sensitivity. They go to the next binge. It's just not enough to do that. They got to go on now. And it's brought distortion now, and even to the relationship, married relationship, their personal relationship. And they've given themselves over to sensuality so they can indulge every kind of what? Impurity. Are y'all following with me today? Yeah. Yeah. So is this just going to be acceptable? Can I just go ahead and keep my Instagram account and my Facebook account so I can go ahead and just keep looking at that part that harms my spirit and harms my future and harms my marriage? Or am I going to have to do something radical? I pray that you follow Jesus. Amen. And whatever that might be, it means leaving that junk and that stuff here on this earth so you can point higher, then you point higher. If it's causing you to stumble, then leave it alone. If you can't do it, there, then go after God, because you're supposed to listen to what the Bible teaches, and we're supposed to obey God's word today, right? Amen. Yeah, I'm not going to surrender today. I'm going to live with what God wants me to live today. So healing from a wound today, because you're wounded, the first thought is this. Somebody say protect.
Protect.
Yeah, protect the wound. Y'all don't know this by looking at me, but when I was like 12, I wanted to be a professional skateboardist. I was good, man. We had skateboards back then, believe it or not. I fell off my dinosaur. No, I was riding a skateboard. No, but we had skateboards back then. I had this big yellow board, and it was kind of cheap, but it was good for me. Mom and Dad got it, Christmas present, whatever. And I would, you know, go, you know, down the street. I would just want to be a skateboardist. I would skateboard everywhere. I remember the days of that. No protection. The days before, remember when you didn't wear a helmet? No pads or anything. We just wore. And anyway, so one day I got pretty good at it. And my brother was taking off. He was older than me, and he had his car, and he was taking off with his girlfriend. And I was like 12, and I said, hey, can I hold on to the car while you take off? You know, because I thought I could do it. You know, my wheels are like, they were cheap, but they were good, I thought. Anyway, so I got onto the car, and I had gone fast. But I remember when he was just going like, it was like 5 miles an hour, I think, 10 miles an hour. And I was on the 4843 Castle Path right off Mid Crown Road. And I was going down, and then, you know what happened was, I had to let go because he was going to get on Mid-Crown, so I let go, and I thought, you know what, well, I'm going to let go, and the 12-year-old chicks are going to dig me on my block because they were all watching me go real fast, and they just dug me, amen, that way, because I was this great skateboardist. And so when I let go, I'm going to, like, go as fast as I can, then I'm going to do this turn and just stop, amen, and I just pictured myself doing that, but that's not what I remember happened. What I remember happened when I let go, and your pastor didn't say a cuss word, but he thought it. Amen. When I let go, I wasn't on the street when I woke up. I was in the Wagner's front yard. Amen. And I was laid out, and my dad, I guess those girls went and told that, and they went and got my dad. That were admiring me, and my dad's standing over me, and I was doing one of these, and he says, are you okay? And I go, yeah, I'm awake now. I had this big scab, and my arm was shredded a little bit, thank God. They took me to the doctor, Fort Sam. We'd go to the emergency room all the time and pop a pill, amen. So the doctor told me, he said, you know what, you got to let that heal. Don't pick at it. We're going to give you some ointment, and it's going to need to heal, and I needed to protect the wound. And when you face something that cuts you, that marks you, not for good, for bad, you got to protect it. You got to protect your mind. You got to walk away from that scab that you keep pulling on, because you keep going back to it and keep going back to it, and you're pulling on the scab, and it keeps bleeding and bleeding. Spiritually, it takes place in your life today. The wound needs to be protected. There are wounded people all around us, aren't there? Yeah, probably in our church, and you feel guilty and you're justified. Again, I'm so thankful my Savior heals people that are wounded today. Right, everybody? But you need to make the choice to protect it. God gives you some smarts in this room. He gives you the ability to be spiritually victorious. And you got to protect your wound. You got to protect it. Amen. Thousands of years ago, before internet porn, before you had your mobile device, before you had the magazine, before you had whatever you found in your daddy's example of his magazine that fell out, you had the psalmist centuries ago announcing something to the people of God. And he announced in Psalms 119:9, he says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? It's a question, right? How can you avoid from getting injured in your spirit, in your soul, by living according to your... You put the law of God in your heart. Just don't show up and say, look at me, everybody. No, you have a walk with God that shows up. Amen. Behind the scenes, you're devoted to Jesus. Yeah. Well, I wear a suit, man. I go to church. I look, you know, I preach. And yeah, but what do you do? Amen. What do you do when no one's looking? You have a life of devotion. Every one of us in this room is called to pastor and preach. Amen. Preach to your home. Preach to your neighborhood. Amen. And so distance yourself from the bait of Satan today. Get far away from that thing that's causing you. Protect the wound. Is that okay with everybody? Jesus told this story, and he said, you know, if your left eye causes you in this context to sin, if your right eye causes you in the context of sin, he said, gouge it out. Take it out. Get that spoon in there and flip it out. And if your right arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Y'all know the scriptures, man. Was he literal? I hope not, because there's going to be a lot of us next week going to be like this. Let me hold my Bible with my left. You're like Cyclops, right? You're walking in, because I think he was being, whatever it takes for you not to sin, do it. Get rid of that account. Get off that situation. Stop going to that side of town. Stop doing that in that relationship that you're doing, and you'll live, not die. Your wound will get healed if you do that today. Amen. Paul, the follower of Jesus that was a great man of God, he said this. He said, you know what? Don't just contain it about immorality that's sexual. Don't just toy with it and say, it's just my little deal. He said, flee from sexual immorality. Run! Forrest, run! Run away, amen. Get that radical that it doesn't even, it's not in your universe, it's not in your circle. Do what you have to do so the wound can get healed, amen, today, in your life today. Well, you know what, I just can't stay away from Instagram. I can't stay away from this social media thing. You have to. Maybe one day you can go back, but if it's messing you up, leave it. You don't want perverted men looking at you, young lady, that way. Give me a good amen. Amen. And you don't want to be looking at that young lady that way. Amen. Amen. It's not so much just containing it. You fight. Amen. Well, I'm going to fight. No, you run away from that fight because you're not going to win. You leave it alone. I know you're a man, but run. Yeah, right, everybody? Amen. There are certain passwords that you must share if you're married. You should share. She should have your password. He should have for your phone, so they know what you're looking at. If you're married, amen, you're accountable to each other, right, everybody? Your mom and dad, if you're still living with them, they should know about your stuff. Turn it over. I had a precious couple in this house, and they finally had to come to Jesus talk with their teenage sons and daughters. And they said, you know what? We're taking over the phone now again. We're paying for it. We might as well know your password. And it was a real hard time for the children. But they finally gave up, or we're going to turn it off. And they gave up their phone so they could know. Some of the men in this room, you don't need to travel alone, because that happens. Something happens to you when you travel alone. You need to be monitored, amen, on your computer. You need to turn over passwords again and look at it again. Is it that you're weak that you have to do that? No, maybe you finally got smart. I'm not like I was when I was 20-something. But I'm still stupid, kind of. So I need somebody watching me. I need somebody to know about my stuff. Right, everybody? And so you do what it takes to live and protect the wound today. Amen. You bounce the eyes. Maybe some of you will have to not go to the gym because somebody in front of you looks like Channing Tatum. Is that his right name? Yeah. And I like Channing Tatum, but he looks just like him when he's working out in front of me. And I'm scoping. Well, you lose a gym membership so you don't have lust in your mind. It's kind of funny, but whatever it takes, right, everybody? Amen. Bounce the eyes. Get rid of the Harlequin book. Amen. The magazine. There are certain magazines that come in the mail. You have a young son, young daughter, get rid of the magazine or the circular that comes in because it just paints too much of a picture for your young son and daughter to maybe look at. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. Listen to me. You're only as strong as you're honest. You walk up to somebody and you say, how you doing? I'm doing okay. No, really, how you doing, man? I so appreciate that man of God weeks ago when we're in this series. And I said, how you doing, man? He said, I don't want to lie, because we just talked about lying. I don't want to lie. I'm struggling. And I said, you're a man of God for saying that to me, man. And I believe in you. We've lied so much in church. Our whole life is a lie sometimes. And I don't want to be a liar. How about you? You know, I want to be a lying pastor. I want to have a lying church. I want you to be people of truth. I want to be a truthful man. How about you? That's what brings power. But man, pastor, I'm still struggling. I've heard these sermons. I've been in church after church and they preach this stuff. They made me feel so bad. I'm so glad that you're still struggling. You know what it means? It's still there's that means you're still fighting. Amen. There's you're breathing. You can gain victory of it today. Amen. If you would do, it proves you're not defeated yet. Thank God. Amen. Now, if somebody comes to you because they hold you that highly and they confess to you, like, I'm struggling with this lust in my life, don't say, man, you're such a big loser. I knew you would. Don't tell them that. They're injured. They need your help. Don't say, and hit them over the head with a Bible. That's okay, but love them. They're in a hospital with you. You're in the hospital too. You just don't know it. Amen. They're just a little bit more hurt. They need our help. And if you can get to the place to make confession, don't think, hey, I'm a loser. I'm this. No, you need healing. That's why you're talking. You're not going to get better by yourself. You need help today. Amen. Protect the wound. And God heals us. He renews our mind today. The second principle is this. Finally, here we go. Pursuit. The pursuit of the life of God. Stop playing defense and start playing the offensive game. You're on offense now. You play to win, right, everybody? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Yeah. Now, I need you to do something. And I always have trouble with probably about two or three people. You know who you are in this room. Look at me. I need you to really do this right now, okay? I don't want you to peek right now. I want everybody in a moment to close their eyes. No peeking allowed. That means you, okay? Well, he doesn't mean me. No, I mean you. Amen. Everyone's going to close their eyes. I'm not going to do anything funny. I'm just going to do, I just want you to, you know, I'm not going to go shave your head. But can everybody participate right now? 100%, 100%. Everyone close their eyes right now. No one looking around. No one looking around. I'm looking. There's a man with brown hair that is looking. I'm that good. I have spiritual discernment. No, okay. No one looking around. Everybody closing their eyes. Okay, everybody's closing their eyes. Don't think of a barbacoa taco. Don't think of a barbacoa taco. Don't think of a barbacoa. Don't think of a barbacoa taco. Okay, open your eyes. What do you see? A barbacoa taco. And it's almost like when it comes to lust, we're, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. And you hold your breath. And I'm going to hold my breath, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that. Well, you're going to do it because you keep saying you're going to do it. Rather than running to that, you draw your attention and you pursue God. Take that off the screen. I'm getting hungry. I don't know what it is with barbacoa. That's my kryptonite. Amen. Please take it off. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I was going to run towards it, and maybe it was going to become alive. Amen. We pursue God more than the barbacoa taco. We pursue God more than that lust, that feeling that shames us. Finally, in Ephesians 4:18, in your handout today, would you read it on the big screen or out loud? Come on, let's finish strong today. Someone needs to hear God's word out loud in their ear today. Read it out loud on three. One, two, three, go. They've darkened their understanding and separated from the life of God today. If you've ever had a broken bone, what they say about it is that you go through, if you've really broken it, I mean bad with the screws that they got to put in, that when you come back after physical therapy, some of y'all have gone through this, you come back and after the rehab is done, the doctor will tell you something like this: the bone that you now have in there is stronger than the bone you originally had. Because there's this callousness that happens that's stronger than the bone. And you can still break it, but it becomes stronger because of all the things. And this scripture tells me that a callousness can develop on our hearts, on our soul, when we're exposed to things that are lustful, that aren't from God. And we get so hardened to them. Do y'all understand that today? That the cheap thrill now takes not only cheap, you got to pay a little bit more for it, and you got to go a little bit more for it, and you got to get a little bit darker and a little bit darker, and you get more callous. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about today? The real people at Living Faith Church. Amen. It's about time we talked about this in church, because we're not getting it anywhere else. We might as well get the truth here, right, everybody? And so I don't want a callous to develop on your heart or my heart today. are in my soul realm because I've exposed myself to something over and over, and I need to go further and further into the darkness. Do you understand that today? And that's what exactly will happen today. Why do we give into lust? Why do we give into our fantasy life? I got bored. I needed to relieve pressure. I needed to do this and escape and have a fantasy about that. And I think it's this point that we do. We settle for a counterfeit. We settle for something that's counterfeit, and God wants to give you true intimacy, true fulfillment, true peace, truth in what it's meant in a marriage that you would have with your two because you have your one. For the single people in this room, you'll never know intimacy more than having a relationship with Christ being your one today. And that's what it probably takes for many of us in this room that are single, that you would just live for God today. Amen. Escape from that today. If you're not married, you bring honor to your future by foregoing the things of this earth and the lower things and pursuing God today. And that's what sort of spouse that you want, right, everybody? Amen. When I was in fifth grade summertime, I still remember it was about this time of the year, an injury came to me in my soul realm. This is what happened to me, my story. There was this older boy, he was about 2 years older than us, and we were all on the block, all military brats in that area. Dads were in the military, some were working civil service, and we were home alone because we were old enough to stay at home by ourselves during that time. So we would, you know, be out playing football and stuff. And so one day that older boy, the mail would come during the day, and he ran, and he says, I got it. He had this package, and he was like jumping for joy. I said, man, what did he get? And he said, I want you to come over to my house. And he had all us boys from the neighborhood come over. He darkened the room, and he told us what we were about to see. He said, I got this porn movie, and I got it out of my dad's magazine. In the back of it, there was ways that you could order it. And it wasn't funny, but he had his little sister's Disney projector, 8mm, and he showed it. You know, there was Dumbo logo and the Disney ears and all that stuff on the projector. But here was this pornographic movie that was about to be shown on a Disney reel-to-reel movie. And he put it on the screen. And to this day, I remember the opening of that movie, and I remember the storyline and the plot and the pornography that happened during that movie. Now, I want you to back up before you accuse me of not having a renewed mind. There's scientific study, and God is the God of science, that when a man sees something, it ingrains itself. It's a photograph that stays into him. It marks his soul. That's why we need to protect our children from this. Don't you understand that? The innocence that's robbed. Now, it's a shame that we all go through this and we get marked, all this, but we don't have to stay that way. Do you understand that today? We walk in an earth that's fallen, and there are things that happen in our life that aren't good, that aren't from God, that God didn't want, but we make those choices also. Do you understand that today? So I was in there instead of fleeing because I could blame my parents for not teaching me the Bible. There's no excuse for you. You've been taught the Bible today. You've been taught now to take it back to your children. Instead of fleeing, I didn't flee. I stayed in there. It was almost like this when the movie was going on. I was like sitting down, and I was like, and I was looking at the door because I didn't want his parents to come through the door and us to get caught. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I was feeling all this stuff. And I remember after I left there, we all were acting cool because we're all kids about the same age. And I went home, and my mom got home about 5 o'clock from her job. And she came in, and my mom had this saying to me every time she'd come up. Mama held up her son like this. Mario was it. He was the prince of the house. She said this to me, ¿Cómo está mi rey? And that means, how is my king today? And you know what? I thought in my mind, I still think of this day. Your king wasn't so good today, Mama. I didn't tell her, but I thought that. King didn't do something so good today. All the things you thought of your king today, he wasn't kingly today, Mama. And I walked away, and I was shamed because of that. And my story is probably no different than you in this room, because we were exposed to something. We were injured. We've been transparent at this church enough that we've pulled back the cover, so to speak, so we could receive healing in this room today, so we could go on with our journey with God. Amen. And so I have noted this in my spiritual walk with God. When I'm most vulnerable to that, which I've just preached about, it's when I'm not serving God. Did you hear me? When I get vulnerable is when I'm not serving the Lord. When I'm serving the Lord, I don't have time for that, man. I am busy for God. I have an assignment. I have a call on, just like you, there's a calling on your life. I have too much to do for God than to mess for the lower things of this earth today. And I'm encouraging you today not to just get busy with one thing. Fall into love with Jesus and go face first into the service of the Lord. If you don't do it at this church, get involved somewhere. Amen. Go serve the homeless somewhere. Maybe get involved in some sort of thing that you're busy for God. Now, there's enough to do at Living Faith Church, and I would appreciate if you would do stuff here, but that's okay. If you don't, go somewhere, because I don't want to see us hooked on something that we shouldn't be doing, that's just bringing death eventually and bringing lack of intimacy in your life and non-truth, and go full board into the things that God can provide for you in this room today. Right, everybody? Amen. We pray together today. Amen. Let's pray. Bow your heads right now. Thank you, Lord. The power of God now. We will not be defeated. We can't be set free. We're going to protect the wound, God, whatever, and we're going to pursue you. Protect and pursue, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This individual needs to hear this. This is what I'm discerning. Life isn't all about you. It's not about you. Life's about serving God. And if you'll serve God, you'll get that newness that you need. You'll get that freedom that you need from that habit that's leaving you defenseless right now. Amen. Don't lower yourself to the temptations of this world, and they don't pull you down today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Father, right now, Lord, the people of God need help. This church needs help, Lord. We want to be honest. We want to be truthful in the house. We're only as strong as we're honest right now, as we're truthful in the house of God. And you're saying right now, I need help in this area. God needs to provide for me. No one looking around, please. I'm not looking around. Respect the house of God. I'm not going to look around. I will in a moment, but I'll tell you when I'm doing that, but not right now. If you need help in this area, would you lift your hand towards heaven? God, my hand is lifted because, again, I need help, Lord. And so I pray a prayer over every hand that's lifted along with mine. And Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit today. And as we seek you, we want to please you, Father. And God, I pray that you would give us divine wisdom to distance ourselves from that would tempt us. And God, help us to protect the wound so we can heal. Renew our mind with the truth of God. We overcome. We bring into captivity every thought that would raise itself above you in your glory. And we subject it right now to your word. We lower it right now. You're greater than that situation, that imagination, that fantasy right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we just don't want just a good defense. We want a good offense. So every day, Lord, with my brothers and sisters that hands are lifted right now in this congregation, we would be people of assignment, that we would awaken to pursuing God. Lord, it says that you're relentless towards us. I pray that we're relentless towards you. Lord, I pursue you. I chase after you today, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I do what you give me that mission to do. I'll do it the rest of my life, Lord. I'll live for you. God, I'll accomplish what you've asked me to do, Lord. I'll be too busy to sin in the name of Jesus. I pray that would be a prayer for all my brothers and sisters today. Protect us. We pursue you with everything within us, Lord, right now. Thank you, Father. We're not going to be distracted by the lower things of this earth. As your heads remain bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking around, you're in this room today and you say, I've really blown it. I've really messed up. I need Jesus in my life. I need him as my Savior. I need him to save me. Your sin might be this sin that we spoke about. It could be any number of sins. There's many that will keep us from the kingdom of God. And so what I'm praying for right now is that you would remember Jesus, that he died on the cross. The good news is the good news is that there's one that died for you. And all that mess up that you did, all that shame that you brought upon your life today, it's at the cross. Not your cross. You deserve to be there, but the cross of Christ today. You're in this room today. You're far away from God. The good news is all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're calling upon Jesus today. If that's you, would you slightly lift your hand? I'll note it. I won't embarrass you, but I'll note it. If that's you, I see your hand, sir. Yes. Someone else? Yes, sir. I see your hand. Someone else? Thank God for two mighty men of God. You can put it down, my brother. I see it. I see it. I noted it. Someone else? Just making sure. Thank you, Lord. The benefit of two hands that went up, two mighty men of God. They're my brothers. I'm going to pray a prayer. All the sinners that are saved by grace, let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father. Come on, everybody. Heavenly Father. You on the internet. Heavenly Father. I call upon the name of the Lord to save me, to forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. That void in my life, fill it with your presence, the Holy Spirit. Save me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll live for you. Bless my brothers, Lord, that raise their hands, God, that I would join them now in the company of just following Jesus. I follow you, Lord. Everywhere you go, my Savior, I'll go. Everywhere you tell me to go, I'll go, Lord. And may the dust of Rabbi Jesus be upon you today. May you be that close to your Savior as you pursue him in your love and your honor for your glory, my King. I thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want to add one more prayer. Many have heard that Chuck and Jamie, Chuck lost his sister, really heaven's gain. We lost her here on this earth. Nicole suddenly went to be with the Lord, 31 years old. And Chuck and Jamie need your prayers. Chuck, his little sister, is now in heaven. She's a believer. The first thing that Chuck told me is I met him at his house. And he was broken, of course, because he's a human, just like you are when you lose somebody. He said, I know my sister's a believer, and I'm going to miss her, but she's a believer. Let's pray for the Weimer family right now in this moment. They're servants of the Lord. We love them. Lord, bless Chuck and Jamie and the precious three children, Father, as they're in Arizona, as they're now, God, strength is needed as Chuck ministers. Lord, he's the oldest in the family, and so there's leadership ability upon my brother. I know that. Would you help him? Thank you for Jamie. Bless her. Bless the children, God. They bring in Jesus into this home, into this environment. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Provide for them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church has blessed them. Amen. Because of you, we're able to bless Chuck and Jamie. You can bless them by sending a text to them, by encouraging them. If you have their number, many of you are Facebook friends with them. You can send them private messages. You can send them a message. Many have done that. You've been a beautiful church. And let's continue to lift up their arms and bless them today, right? Amen. We don't grieve like the world grieves. That's what the Bible says. There's a hope within us. Amen. Amen. Heaven is our home. This isn't our home. Amen. Nicole got promoted a little bit earlier than us. Amen. And it's where we're going, and thank God for it. We're hurting because Chuck is hurting, of course. But thank God we rejoice because heaven's our home today. God bless you. We're going to be led out in a song. Aren't you appreciative for Roger today? Amen. Bless him. Amen. Lead us out, Roger, in a song. Connection cards. Make sure you fill those out if you receive Christ or if you need prayer. I'll meet you in the cafe. Amen. If you're visiting for the first time, it'd be my honor to shake your hand today. God bless you. Let's stand together.
In simply, yes, it is, longing for purity to worship you, Spirit and truth, only you, Lord, strip it all.